It's episode 111 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm host Doug.
And I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, we'll be discussing the films Sing Street, The Nice Guys, and HBO's Confirmation. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast at gmail.com or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or look us up on YouTube and iTunes and subscribe, or search for us on Facebook. Find the page, The Hodgepodge Podcast, and like it. We finally got to see our most anticipated movie of the summer.
Yes.
Neighbors 2.
See, I didn't see that one. You saw that one.
I
but
did.
I've yet to watch that, what you consider turd of a movie.
It wasn't a turd. It just wasn't
much,
good.
You pretty much skewered that thing.
It wasn't very good. I mean, it has its moments, but
nowhere
I was
near as good as the first one.
No, and I was shocked to see how.
Unless you're Matt Goldberg,
right? My God,
he's like the best sequel ever.
I know, he's like, that's one of the best comedy sequels ever. I'm like,
but like I said, I can't have my own opinion on it.
I'm so. Like, apparently, you've never seen Airplane 2. Yeah, so we have been not away too long, I guess. Our last episode was Captain America, wasn't it? Yes.
Yeah.
It was that epic episode.
Did you split that one up?
No, okay. No. I ended
up
doing
a
2-hour
episode.
Yes.
All right.
Jesus. Some nerd movie news. We're going to go see X-Men this week in a couple days, and the reviews are not kind. We talked about that on Captain America.
Yeah, we already
Captain America episode.
Glazed over that one, but yeah.
But it's holding steady at around 50% or so.
Ouch.
Yeah.
That's not good.
It's not. Oh, DC. DC and Warner Brothers had a shakeup on the executive level. Jeff Johns, who was a comic book writer, and he worked on the Justice League cartoon, and now he is like the chief creative officer of the comics.
Right, so they're kind of...
He's now going to be basically in charge of the movie division for DC.
So they got two of them now that are kind of...
And
like
there's another guy.
There's two of them, and they're just kind of ride together for a while,
right.
I guess.
And so that's good. One of his comments he made, he's like,
they needed something.
They needed somebody that's not Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
And he one of his things he said was, I want to bring hope and optimism back to the DC movies. It's like, oh, wow. Apparently he was not a fan, I guess, of Batman versus Superman.
Yeah. Or he could have just, you know, been going by general. General disarray. Yeah, I got you now.
Christopher Nolan, I saw the news today. He just started filming his next film, Dunkirk, which is a World War II thriller. And that comes out next July, I think, next year.
So, don't know anything about it, but I want to see it already.
Yeah.
Anything Christopher Nolan.
He's starting that. The initial reviews, there was a screening of Suicide Squad.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and initial reviews were glowing, but so were they also for Fantastic Four and for Batman versus Superman.
I mean, you know, the first screening, they just pack people in there that they know are going to like the movie. You know?
But
pay off Harry Knowles or somebody.
Right.
Have you ever seen that guy write a bad review? Because I haven't.
Not really.
No. He's always like, oh, it's the best thing I've ever seen. I'll bet it was.
People said it was good, but we'll see what happens. We'll judge for ourselves in August. They released some photos of Idris Elba as the gunslinger.
Yeah, they did.
In,
can't wait for that one.
The Dark Tower movie.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. Are they still doing... Do we know if they're still doing the TV movie thing? Or is it just movies?
I think that got scrapped. Yeah.
No, that was a good idea.
It was a good idea. But
you fucked it up!
That was back when Ron Howard was...
I think he's still involved
with it. Is he still doing it?
Yeah. Okay. He's not directing it, but I think he's still producing it.
That was back when he was doing the whole thing.
That's right. He was going to direct it, wasn't he? And then they were talking about getting Javier Bardem to be the...
They had a few choices, but but yeah, that still looks good.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that one. Michael Keaton in again.
Yes.
For
Spider-Man.
Homecoming.
Yeah, Spider-Man Homecoming. And there's a rumor that Vincent D'Onofrio might show up as the Kingpin. Which
would be awesome. That would be great.
That would be great.
Yeah.
They were.
There's been a lot of hubbub in the TV world on between like whether it's The Flash or Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
Like the the actors keep speaking out about, you know, why they should be in the movies or why this right, or that yeah. isn't connected to, who was it?
Right.
I don't remember the actress's
it
name.
It was
Alex somebody?
No, it was Daisy.
Yeah, whoever
Sky
Daisy.
From Agents
of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I thought
her name was actually Alex something.
No, it's Chloe Bennett.
That's it. Yeah. she was all peeved about, you know, why they don't ever mention what's going on with S.H.I.E.L.D. in the movies. And it's like, well...
Yeah,
the movies are way more focused on, but you could maybe bring it in. But the fact of the matter is that it's less likely to happen now, especially that the Inhumans is a big question mark now.
Yeah.
In the movie world,
right?
That's the big thing going on with S.H.I.E.L.D. now.
Right. The reason, I mean, I haven't been watching S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm gonna probably catch it when it comes on, the next season comes on Netflix, but. One way that you can say that the reason why they don't mention the TV shows is because the movies are written and made so far in advance.
Yeah.
Like they have to, like, you know, so like while they're still writing the new season of the TV show, the movie's already been filmed and it's done and they just have to do the effects.
Which is why
it's
DC actually chose to just
keep it
separate. Completely separate.
But DC is an easier way around that, which The Flash has shown, is that DC is known for its multi-universe.
Right.
So it's like, it's easy to say, well, this is the Batman Superman universe and this is the TV universe.
Right.
And now they just revealed Supergirl is going to the CW.
That's right.
So now she'll be crossing over more with them. And they also...
Apparently without Clister Flockhart.
Yeah.
From what I hear. Because she's not going to fucking Vancouver to film.
No, she's not. She is not.
No.
And then they also said, I think, on the Legends of Tomorrow, which I heard that show started strong, got real crappy. And then
it fizzled a little bit.
And then the end is... They said the end was pretty cool.
It's okay.
But
it's not bad.
But they basically introduced, or they hinted at, what's going to come in the next season, which is the Justice Society of
That's
America.
That's correct. The very last episode... I don't remember the guy's name, but he comes in and says, I'm from the Justice
Society. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he actually comes in at the end and he says it. He says,
right.
You sent me and I'm from the Justice
right.
Society of America.
That's cool. It'll be interesting to see how they work Jay Garrick into that, because Jay Garrick is a member of the Justice Society of America from The Flash.
Really?
Yes. Jay Garrick was a member. He was the Flash of that crew. Yeah, don't say anything. Don't spoil anything, because I haven't watched Flash either.
Okay,
I've been keeping up.
See, he is not just...
Oh, I know! Oh, I know the secret. Yeah, I know that. I know that.
Okay, well, I'm just.
But
saying,
I also
I'd be
know,
surprised that he was a member of that, given that he's the villain.
Yeah, but I also but he wasn't in the comic. That's the thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They,
yeah.
How are they going to spin that in the?
He might be from show. A different. He might be from a different. It might be from a different world.
He already was.
Yeah, I know. He might be from a different.
He already
different
was
world.
From Earth 2.
He's from a different world. I don't know.
Yeah,
from where you come from.
Yeah.
What else? But I have been... One show I have been keeping up on is Person of Interest, which has been really good so far.
Are you all caught up now?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm caught up. Now, I guess you said they're trying to cram out three
this
week.
There'll be three episodes. There'll be one tonight and two tomorrow night. So instead of just two a week, now they're putting three in a week.
The only problem I might have, though, is that I want to keep up with it, but I gotta finish up Bloodline, because Bloodline's coming back at the end of this week on Netflix. So I got to finish the first season of that.
Yeah. Yeah, Person of Interest is good. I wouldn't call the last episode not the last episode, because two episodes ago, I wouldn't call it a cop out. I was like, eh, okay. Sarah Shahi, the twist there with her. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I knew something was up about halfway through
when
they were like immediately somewhere else. I was like, okay, this is fishy.
Yeah.
But it's been good. Night Manager, I got to catch up on, but that's been good.
Oh yeah,
Night Manager,
that's
and
good.
That finishes up tonight, doesn't
it? It's tonight.
It's only
the fifth
six
or
episodes.
Six. I can't remember tonight's the fifth
be,
or sixth.
I think it might be the sixth episode.
Okay,
but yeah, Game of Thrones. It was a very sad episode last night. We won't spoil anything, but it was a very sad episode last night.
I wasn't sad.
Shut up.
I didn't give.
Everyone loves him. Everyone loves him.
Who? Who? Doug? Yeah. I was more like that kid's a fucker.
Not very nice. He's gonna save the world.
And we know where the White Walkers come from now.
Yes, I know. Which was cool.
Well, I mean, that's pretty neat. I still don't understand where those nymphs or whatever imps, whatever they are, the nature.
Yeah,
people.
they're like the children of the forest.
Yeah, I still don't really know where they came from.
Like even the Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
They know Link.
Okay. Yeah.
But that's basically it. Angry Birds won the box office this past weekend. However the
fuck that's possible.
After Collider gave it an F. An F. But yeah, I didn't see it. I'm not planning on seeing Angry Birds. I never played the game, so I'm like, I've never.
I mean, the thing is, and don't get me wrong, because I personally don't care about this. But the thing is, so little family / children's movies that's come true. Out. Anything that comes out,
yeah,
families does well. Are going to
yeah.
flock to it.
Yeah, it does
they,
well.
They
yeah.
have no choice. Right. So that's what. What else are you going to take your kids right. to see? So. Yeah, I get what maybe
why it did well. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you're not gonna take your kids to see the Nice Guys.
Right. You should. But it's right there in the title. They're nice guys.
Yeah. Okay. And Captain America has crossed a billion worldwide.
Yeah.
And when that
actually
happened,
I did that last week. That's a week old, that news. So.
Yeah, it was yeah, middle pretty, of last week, something like that.
Yeah. So.
But when it happened, I'm like, are we really still keeping track of this now? It's like, I mean, like, who cares? It's
yeah,
like,
you know, it's everyone like, knows.
When somebody makes $2 billion again, then call me.
Right.
Or $1.5 billion, then call me.
Stupid. That's, Star Wars not beating out.
Well, that's the thing for me with Star Wars. That for me, the bigger story not was it going to beat Titanic and. Avatar.
The best movie ever made, Avatar.
Right. It wasn't, that wasn't, for me, the bigger story for Star Wars was it going to make $1 billion domestically, which it almost right. did. It made 900 something.
Really close.
It came really, really close.
Like, I think it was like 960.
Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Let's see if Rogue One will beat it. It will not.
Yeah.
But, let's get started. What do you want to talk about first? Confirmation?
Yeah, let's just start with that one. All right.
So we'll start with HBO's confirmation, which was on last month, but...
I can confirm it was last month.
IMDb confirms it was last month.
And that's the end of that review.
the two of us just happened to see it separately just recently, like literally like the last couple of days. And because I had a free 2 hours to spare and I was like, hey, I'm going to watch this.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the reason why I watched it is because when I was at the house, I was going through my HBO Now. And I could have sworn it said that it was leaving, quote unquote, leaving HBO Now, and I'm like, but it's an HBO movie.
Why would it
leave HBO?
Around, yeah.
So then when I checked it again yesterday, it wasn't there anymore.
I just happened to be searching for my DVR for pubic hair. And it's like, oh,
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, there it is. It's Confirmation. I watched that.
If you don't know, Confirmation is basically a dramatization of what happened when Clarence Thomas was nominated to the Supreme Court, the events that led up to it, and then what happened when somebody basically found out about Anita Hill, a law professor who had worked with him, and she claimed it's true. she claimed that he sexually harassed her on the job, and it was interesting. It was an interesting film. Great performances. Kerry Washington plays Anita Hill, and Wendell Pierce of The Wire and Tremé, he plays Clarence Thomas. And then you got a whole host of other character actors in it. Greg Kinnear plays Joe Biden. And
Senator Joe Biden.
Right, Senator Joe Biden at the time. Yeah, because this was in 1991. Yeah. And then Treat Williams plays Ted Kennedy. He doesn't really sound like Ted Kennedy, but they made him really look like Ted Kennedy. I mean, he really looked like that.
And he's a bit part.
He doesn't do a lot in it. So
I just kept expecting Wendell Pierce to go, shit.
But again, that's not his
thing. I don't
think.
It's his thing from Ray Donovan.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You keep telling me that, but I keep forgetting that. Because yeah. when you say that, I automatically think Clay Davis from
right.
The Wire, which is Isaiah Whitlock.
Right.
Shit. It and now they the one thing that was interesting is that a lot of it uses a lot of real news footage, so like they don't cast the reporters who reported on it. A lot of the major figures like George Bush Senior is not in there. The other Supreme Court members are all like, it's all video footage of like, you know, real life footage.
Yeah.
So they're not.
George Bush is basically, he's proxied in through Eric
Stone Street's
character, who was like the White House advisor.
Yeah, he
for
was
the nomination.
I thought he was Sununu, but I guess it was after Sununu.
Yeah,
so
he was just a White House advisor.
Yeah, And it was interesting. That movie was, when it pulled up on HBO Now, it was TV 14. And I was like, what? This has got to be TVMA, doesn't it? I mean, with the subject matter. You know, and then they were throwing a couple F-bombs around, too. And I was like, is this TV 14? But it was interesting. I didn't know that she really didn't want to come forward. They basically... she was called because they were doing like a background check on him basically, and they called her and
it wasn't the background check that got her, it was the news, the reporter who got her to speak up, and then the reporter got her in touch with the people that were doing the background check stuff. She was going to...
Was it?
Yeah,
because I thought...
She was going to be involved before they came to her door.
Oh, no, I know that. No. What I'm saying is like, because, like, she didn't come forward and say, this fucking guy can't be on the Supreme Court. You know, she was contacted by Ted Kennedy's assistant.
That's right. Yeah, but it was through a reporter that she learned about her.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then...
I didn't realize that it was, like, this was way late.
Oh, yeah.
In the confirmation. Like, he was days away from being confirmed when any of this happened. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, what kind of vetting did you people do?
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Yeah.
It was really odd.
He, and the lead up to it was that Reagan wanted Robert Bork to be the Supreme Court guy. And this is kind of what's going on right now with Obama, and you know how, you know, you see on Facebook all the time, people are saying, do your fucking job in the Senate, you know, and how the senator's like, oh no, we can't confirm a Supreme Court guy, the people will decide. Well, the people did decide back in 2012.
That's not how that works, right?
Exactly.
That's not how that works at all.
But basically this is actually, the Bork thing is actually part of the reason why they're holding such a grudge about it, because that's what happened. Reagan was a lame duck. He nominated Bork, and they even came up with the term, they Borked him, because they mm-hmm. basically, you know, drummed him out. And then when Bush got in there, Thurgood Marshall retired.
Right. And but then, Bush basically, right or wrong, he was appointing someone who he thought would, it would look good for him politically to appoint someone, because you had the current African American retiring,
yeah.
So they wanted to. He's basically trying to keep a balance,
right?
For the public eye for re-election. How'd that work out?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Clarence Thomas. Like, I mean, if you go and like listen to any like major decisions, like Clarence Thomas doesn't say like shit.
It's so funny.
It's like probably because he's still like, I can't believe I'm even here.
They make fun. They used to have a running gag in Boston Legal. It wasn't like a huge running gag,
right?
But there was like two or three times where they went before the Supreme Court, and James Spader's character, who just always went off the mm-hmm. rails, was constantly just trying to get Clarence Thomas to say something to react to what he said. And then like there was one time where he actually got Clarence Thomas to be like, oh, and he like looks back at Denny Crane, is like, did you see that? It was really funny.
Speaking of Jane Spader, apparently Red Reddington isn't her father.
No. Also, she's not dead. So what the fuck?
Fuck that show.
I'm done. I'm done with that show. But yeah. So this. So from a perspective of you know, what the overall idea of what happened, this movie doesn't tell you a whole lot of new stuff, but that's because there's not a lot that happened. Right. I mean, this was in the span of a couple weeks, really.
Yeah.
And then it ended just as quickly as it came.
It doesn't give you any new insight into the people, the players, or anything like that. It really just does just what happened.
Yeah, but you know, if you don't know a lot about it, you know, it does give you insight into the players in that. Who they were and what they were doing at the time, like Joe Biden, how he was,
right?
Yeah, he was
had a toothache.
He did, yeah. Now how he was involved, because he likes ice cream.
Yeah,
he loves ice cream. What are you gonna do?
Yeah,
how he was like heading the whole. He was chairing the
judicial committee.
Judicial committee. that is a joke from Dana Carvey. Okay. You just don't joke if you joke. Judicial committee. But yeah, so he was chairing that. They give you insight into you know, why she did what she did. Mm-hmm. And Clarence Thomas basically never wavers the whole time. Of course not.
Yeah.
Because even to this day, he'll deny that he did anything wrong.
But you can see the look on his wife's face, and she's just like,
He did it. No one just makes that shit up.
Yeah, who the fuck makes up, he had, is this pubic hair?
If you were going to make that up, you'd say, like, yeah, he fucked me, or he raped me, or he touched me inappropriately.
Yeah.
You don't just be like, yeah, he said a lot of inappropriate things. Like, that's not going far enough if you're going to make something up.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You could never convince me he didn't.
Who put pubic hair on my Coke can? Gross.
Apparently just came from The Exorcist.
Apparently, yeah. Oh, my God. Like, and that's when Dead Kennedy turns to Joe Biden and goes, what the fuck is he talking about?
But it was a good movie.
No, I did. I liked it. HBO always does a good job. You said you saw All the Way.
Yeah, I watched Brian All Cranston, the Way. That's really good. That's probably a better.
I still need to see that.
That's something I knew nothing about. I didn't know anything about LBJ's presidency and what a advocate he was for social reform.
Mm-hmm.
Well, clearly, I mean, he picked up the civil rights Kennedy. It was just Kennedy's,
right?
And ran with that, but it was pretty. That's a really good movie to watch how that all unfolded.
Cool, I'll check that one out. So let's move to another movie. We two winners at the theater. We separately saw a movie. I saw this last Thursday. Yes.
I saw it on Saturday, I think.
When did you see
it? Or Friday? No, I couldn't miss Saturday. Friday.
Yeah.
So you saw it before Thursday, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe you saw it Wednesday?
No, I saw it the Thursday before.
Okay, you saw it
I saw it the Thursday before, yeah. Okay. And this is a movie by John Carney, who did...
Once,
and he also did a movie that we liked a couple years ago, Begin Again.
Yeah.
And this movie is called Sing Street.
Yeah. In the same vein.
Yes, yeah, same vein. It's a
contemporary musical.
Yeah, contemporary musical, and it's really fucking good.
It really is. I mean, both the other two were really fucking good too.
Yeah, but this one, I mean, I've still yet to see Once. I understand Once is like really, really
great.
Yeah,
you gotta check
but, it out. But I did like this one better than Begin Again, personally. Because I think Begin Again...
You can relate to this one more.
You can relate to this one more, but also this one had more conflict in it. That was my big beef with Begin Again. Begin Again, once you get to a certain point in the movie, it's just like, coast to the end. Like Chef with Jon Favreau. It's like, just coast to the end. And that's kind of what Begin Again was. But this actually had conflict throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
It's set in Dublin in 1985, and it is essentially a John Hughes musical, basically. it's a teenage coming-of-age story. The main character is Connor, and he's played by Ferdia Walsh-Pelow.
Of course he is.
And what happens is that this kid... his home life is kind of falling apart. His parents are on the verge of splitting up. His parents...
Well, that's because his dad's a dick. I mean, Baelish.
Right, yeah. I mean, he's Littlefinger. Yeah. So,
What do you want?
He was trying
since
to... He was trying to throw the mother out the sky door. Oh, hi, everybody. I'm just standing over here.
Yeah,
Aidan Gillen, who plays Littlefinger on Game of Thrones, and Tommy Carchetti on The Wire, he plays the father... And Maria Doyle Kennedy plays the mother. And
they were really good.
They were good too, yeah. And they're on the verge of splitting up. The money's tight because
it's a very the neighborhood itself, but just I think this is a period of time in Irish history that's just kind of poverty stricken in general.
Right.
So they went from kind of being a middle class family, if you will, and now all of a sudden they're really strapped for money.
Right. So they have to pull Connor out of private school, and they put him into, which is strange for me to say this in America, public Catholic school.
Yeah, that is that's why it took me a second to wrap my head around that in the movie. I was like, wait a second. Typically here that would be the private
school. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But not in Ireland.
No, not in Ireland.
Connor also has a brother and a sister, older brother and a sister. The sister's name is Anne. She's barely in this, but she's played by Kelly Thornton. Yeah. And then his brother is Brendan, played by Jack Rayner. You'll remember him from Transformers.
I wouldn't.
He does a much better job in this movie than he did in that movie.
Yeah, surprisingly, a really great arc in this movie that I didn't see coming.
Yeah.
I just thought he was going to be the standard brother.
Right.
But no, they that is a really good character.
Yeah. And what happens is that Connor goes to this new school, and basically it's the worst thing that could ever happen to him.
You can imagine, right?
Right. I mean,
the new kid comes in,
right,
who's used to private school,
right,
and all of a sudden he's being ridiculed and
right, and he draws the unwanted attention of the headmaster
and the school bully
Barry. Basically, it takes him a few days, but he finally makes a friend in Darren, who's played by Ben Carolyn, and like all the kids that are involved in the band are all newcomers. They're all basically unknowns, basically. And I think they were all kind of, well, except maybe Darren, because he doesn't really do anything musically in the band, but I think they were all cast for their musical ability as opposed to their acting ability. That's not to say that they're bad as actors in the movies. They're all very good in this, but it's clear that, like, they kind of know what they're doing. At least Connor and Eamon, the kid who plays Eamon, they know what they're doing. What happens is that Darren and Connor are hanging out, and then he sees a girl across the street. She's real pretty, and he goes over to talk to her, and this is Rafina, who's played by Lucy Boynton, and he wants to Boynton her. And she's a 16-year-old model, and you learn... I'm not going to spoil a lot with her, but you learn a lot more about her as the movie goes on. Right. To impress her, he says, do you want to be in my music video for my band? And then she goes, oh, yeah, maybe. Right. And so then he walks away, and he goes, I have to form a band.
Right. So slight bit of background is the movie opens up. He already knows how to play a little bit of guitar.
Yes, yeah.
He's got a little bit of songwriting that he tries to do, which is quite comical.
Yeah.
That he kind of pulls in stuff that happens in his everyday life and just starts kind of riffing about it.
Yeah.
And then one of the family rituals is that he and his siblings like to sit down every week and watch Top of the Pops.
Yeah. Which, if you don't know, is still on, I believe, in England and in the UK. It's like the big
video countdown, top 10 video countdown.
Right. And they would have live acts come on. But the thing about Top of the Pops is that the bands would go on there and they'd basically lip sync.
Right.
Like, you know, all the 80s bands.
This was for the forefront of music videos.
Right. Yeah. So, all the 80s bands that Dirty A and I love have all been on Top of the Pops, basically. Yeah. Brendan basically uses that, and he schools Connor on music in general and stuff like that. Darren and Connor go about forming a band. And which
is kind of my only critique of the movie is it happens pretty quickly.
It does happen really quickly.
Granted, there's no lull time in there, so that's good. But within a day, all of a sudden they have like a full band.
It takes quite a few days.
Yeah, I'm exaggerating. But they pretty quickly all of a sudden they just have this band for people that they didn't know before.
Right. And the first person they recruit is a multi-instrumentalist. named Eamon, who's played by Mark McKenna. And the vibe I got from him and Connor, because they end up working together and writing songs together, I got a real Bono and Edge vibe from the two of them, which was one of the things that I commented to you about this movie.
They're in Ireland in the mid-80s, and there's no mention or reference
to U2 at all.
Yeah.
And all they're talking about is how this band is going to get them out. It's going to get them out of Dublin, to get them out of Ireland.
Yeah.
And there's no mention of U2.
It's the story of U2.
Right, exactly. But you know what? I wonder if it is. I mean, John Carney says it's autobiographical, because he basically was like, he goes, I was that kid in school, but this is basically like the happy ending version of my, of, you know, yeah. my fantasy version of how it would
play. Well, you know, the big difference would have to be in this story, we'll get there, but right. He leaves. No one else does.
Right.
We don't know that later.
Well, yeah, right.
He's made promises, but
right.
He doesn't go with, it's not like he and the band leave together.
Right, but the intention is that they will come with him when he. Yeah.
But yeah, Beth laid plans. I mean, good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, yeah,
he's nothing without Amen. Yeah, I wrote these songs and fuck everybody.
He's nothing without Amen. He's nothing without Amen. So basically, what happens is that you watch this band basically evolve over the movie, and they make different songs and different videos, and it's all very like whatever Brendan puts in front of Connor. The next song is very much an homage to
not only the next song, but his whole look.
Yes,
He changes his whole look.
Yeah,
from day to day, from week to week, really, and it's really funny.
Right.
One day,
because when he meets Eamon, goes, well, what kind of band are you looking to do? And so Connor's just making up a bunch
of crap. He's experimenting.
Yeah,
he's experimenting, and they're going through the not just. I mean, he is the. The lead, he is the front man for the band, but he and the whole band, they're experimenting on really what kind of band they are and what kind of music they'll do,
right?
Because at the beginning, he doesn't know a lot about music contemporary music in the which is kind of odd to me,
that
he grew up in this house, which they do address,
right,
with his brother who's so into it that he didn't pick up anything yet,
right.
But and he's already playing guitar and kind of writing songs. How does he not know some of this stuff? But, you know, whatever. But, yeah, he basically just, you know, he regurgitates line his brother gives him.
Right.
And sounds that he hears.
Right.
And every single one of their songs, save, like, one, you hear and you basically.
Oh, yeah.
You hear in the background that they're basically sampling.
Right. And the songs. And we say that, it makes it sound like the songs are bad. They're not. The songs are really good.
No, and these are, again, I think we mentioned it, but maybe we didn't. These are original songs.
These are original songs written by John Carney and Gary Clark.
Right.
And they wrote the songs together.
Some of them, Gary Clark, I think he wrote a couple of them himself.
But
so these are, and they're good songs. They're actually
now the first songs. The first song they did was the Riddle of the Model.
The Riddle of the Model.
And they tried to make that like inherently cheesy. Yeah. To me, that's a very Wang Chung song. Like that, you could pluck that right off of Wang Chung's discography and be like. And I bought the soundtrack after I saw the movie. It's real. That song's real short. Like it's only like a minute and a half or a minute and 50 seconds, something like that.
And that's the first video that they try to shoot. And they're basically
with Ruffina.
He's basically trying in the movie to emulate Duran Duran.
Right.
Yeah.
But it comes across more like Wang Chung. then his brother shows him The Cure, and then he wants to, and then the songs they do a beautiful sea, and it sounds exactly like a Cure homage, and he and like
well, they
you
actually
said,
have the Cure in they actually use a Cure song in
they
the,
do
in
yes
the movie
they
itself
do
when they're on the
right,
train
right and
in between what was that well,
in between days in between days yeah. And they use Rio as for Duran
yeah they that was at the beginning yeah
they mentioned Depeche Mode but they don't use their music.
we know.
I was very upset. I was happy they got it. I was happy they got a good mention, not like those assholes.
Right.
You know, again, the U2 thing just baffles me. I mean,
it was
because this is 1980.
Awkward because this is right in the hot.
This is when they exploded.
This is when
and Live
they
Aid.
Got really big.
Yeah. In 1985 was Live Aid when they U2 blew up.
Well, but you got to remember before that they were still big in Ireland.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exploded worldwide. So you'd think
exactly
that would be something to just. Mention.
Yeah,
I'm not saying you got
exactly.
It was odd.
If I could ever talk to him, I'd be like, why didn't you mention U2 at all? It's like, but anyway, maybe he thought it was too easy to mention U2. Maybe I don't know. But so and then they do you know Beautiful Sea and that's like The Cure. It all pretty much culminates with probably the best song and the most I would say complete song on the soundtrack, which is Drive It Like You Stole It.
Drive It Like You Stole It.
Which is a phrase that his brother uses, and he kind of steals that and puts in the song. It's a really good song.
That, with prolific song, Brown Shoes.
Yeah. Yes. Private Shoes. Did you get the soundtrack?
I haven't got the soundtrack. I need to, though. Yeah. It's good. It's worth the purchasing.
But, yeah, so I don't want to spoil a whole lot. I mean, the one thing, the movie does have a lot of common, coming-of-age tropes in it, but you kind of forgive them because the characters are so likable. That's what
coming-of-age kind of is.
I mean,
it is full of a lot of tropes.
Right.
And, you know, just like you mentioned up front, I mean, if you can use them well,
yeah,
they'll work to your advantage, like John Hughes, right?
Right.
I mean,
and that's the thing. And the other reason why I say it's John Hughes is because it does have some serious moments in it. It's not like,
oh yeah,
it's not like, I mean, because it's a very funny movie. It's very funny.
It is funny, but I would say if you're comparing it to John Hughes, it's for in that genre of John Hughes, mm-hmm. It's actually more serious mm-hmm. than most, because it's not just about, you know, somebody in their relationship,
right?
You know, there's a lot of family drama going on here.
Yeah,
it's not funny. It's
not
real family drama.
And then there's drama at the school
and
too.
They have the school stuff going on. So yeah,
which I'm surprised they didn't take that a little bit further.
It seemed to wrap up pretty quickly.
Yeah,
Between the bully and the headmaster.
The headmaster.
It seemed to wrap up pretty quickly.
Yeah,
not that. The headmaster, you know, you basically hear some background on him, mm-hmm. and then there's one very
intense scene. Yeah.
But other than that, that's it.
Yeah.
Then you don't really see a whole lot leading up to it,
right.
or you know, sloping down from it.
It takes, and then it becomes more about him and Ruffina more so than that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, it's a great movie.
Which is the focus of the movie.
Of course,
that's the main.
I mean, she's the one he writes all the songs about,
right.
except for Brown Shoes.
Right. No. It was about some other model that he knows.
That was the best.
It's not about you. This is about some other model.
She goes, that's so sweet. He goes, oh, it's about another model I know. So stupid asshole. It's really, really great. All the kids do a great job in it. It's just really, really sweet, fun movie. But it has like a lot of heart.
A lot of powerful moments behind it that some of them you don't see coming.
Right, yeah.
Like we mentioned earlier with the brother.
Right.
His whole arc, it kind of hits you.
Yeah.
In one scene.
Right.
And then kind of carries through after that scene,
right.
But you finally get the sense of he's not just someone sitting back.
He's not just some pothead.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But yeah, if you can find it in your area, definitely see Sing Street. It's totally worth it.
The worst thing about it is the name.
Okay, they take the name basically from the school.
Sing Street was the name of their
Sing Street. It was Syng
or something like that.
Yeah, and then Street.
So they're like, oh, we'll call our band Sing Street.
I mean, but that's a real school.
It is. The end. You find out, you know, and it's funny. You probably did. Did you stay through the whole credits to listen to the music?
Yeah, most of it. Yeah.
Did you notice that at the end of the credits, they put a little blurb in there? It says, "Unlike Dublin in 1982, this school is actually has matured into a well-known school for education." And it's like, whoa, okay. So you're admitting this was a piece of shit back in 1980 something, you know.
But yeah, definitely check out Sing Street. When I went to go see it, the theater I went to go see it at, I guess, yeah, it was two Thursdays ago for me, because that's when it premiered, and then it was in the theater for a week, and now after this last weekend, it's one showing.
They've
at
already
the theater.
Cut back the show.
It's one showing at the theater.
So sad for movies like this.
I know it is, and that theater is a theater that celebrates the fact that they put like art house movies in there, and
you see
that.
At the Grand?
Yeah, I saw at the Grand.
Not anymore, they don't. I mean,
they've changed owners, yeah.
It's not really an art house theater anymore, so you can't really say that anymore. This is a movie that, you know, it just like Begin Again.
Yeah.
No press.
Right.
There's no media attention for this movie.
Yeah, because we saw this trailer online. Like, we were like, oh, it's a Begin Again guy. Let's watch Begin Again.
We just happened to have a screener for it. We didn't know what the hell it was.
Yeah, we didn't know what it was going to be.
Other than, you know, I knew I liked Once.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, it's so sad that these great movies
that
really, you know, Oscar type worthy movies.
Yeah. Oh yeah, just, if they don't get nominated for best song.
Oh, right, for sure for best song. Yeah, but for, I in the movie, Driver, like, the movie stole itself.
Yeah. It won't get any. No.
But
it's probably too much of a comedy for it to be. Yeah. You know, but like The Martian.
Just like The Martian. Oh. But yeah, it deserves a lot more credit, movies like this, and it's sad that, you know, it goes in the theater for a week, you know, a couple people see it, and then it dwindles down from there, you know. We had a few people in there when we saw it this past weekend, but it's just like, why don't movies like this get their due attention? I don't understand.
I don't know. It's a shame, because it's really, it was really, really, really good.
Yep.
Let's talk about another movie that we thought was really good.
That we expected to be really good.
We expected to be really, 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 really good. It wasn't that good, but it was very good. It was very good.
It was probably about as good as I thought it would be.
I liked it a lot. I've actually already seen it twice, and that is The Nice Guys. This is a movie from Shane Black,
who, spiritual sequel to Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which he did back in
2005. Yeah. That's right before he became Iron Man
and
Downey Jr.
Yeah, and I know we've mentioned this before. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen that movie, you're doing yourself a disservice.
It's, yeah, because Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is funny as hell.
And this is a spiritual sequel in that it's the beats carry through. Mm-hmm. It's not the same characters or anything, but the way the story is paced and the beats throughout the story are very similar.
Yeah, it's a comedic noir. Basically, which is what Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was. This is set in 1977,
and also with the buddy cop,
right? The buddy cop thing, if you will. Which Shane Black invented basically with Lethal Weapon. He wrote the first Lethal Weapon.
Absolutely, he's very in tune to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he also did Iron Man 3, which was the original spiritual sequel.
We don't care.
He was the original spiritual sequel to Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. So, it's set in Los Angeles in 1977. And basically, it focuses on two guys, the nice guys. One is Jackson Healy. He's played by Russell Crowe.
He really likes blue.
He does. And he's like a tough guy for hire, basically. If you have a problem with somebody and you can find him, maybe you can hire the A guy.
Yeah, he's just the brute.
Right. If you're having a problem, you can hire Jackson Healy, and he'll go punch a guy in the face, basically.
Right. The no real morals about it.
If you
pay him the money,
he'll do it.
He'll do the work.
And the other guy they focus on is Holland March, who's played by Ryan Gosling,
who is a straight up PI.
He's a drunken single father PI. He is a single father to Holly, played by Rice. Yeah.
And he has morals in that. He at least wants his daughter to. It's very great.
Yeah. Like,
so
he's definitely a slime ball.
He picks and chooses when to bring out his morality, basically.
Right.
But if his daughter is there, he tries to be the nice good father. Guy.
Right. Yeah. Right. And basically, what happens is a girl named Amelia hires Healy to go take care of March. Because she is a person of interest in March's current case.
Right. So March has been hired, basically a completely separate case by someone else, to find a girl who turns out to be
Amelia.
And so Amelia, who doesn't want to be found,
right,
hires Healy to stop him.
And so that's how they meet.
He
goes to March's house and beats the crap out of him. And then
just tell him you
spiral fracture your left arm.
He just starts screaming.
You beat up my dad. Sucker punched your dad. Let's get it straight. Then what happens is Amelia disappears off of Healy's radar, as he says, and then he basically goes to hire March to find the girl. And then they basically team up and they get pulled into a larger conspiracy,
just like in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Right, exactly.
I'm not saying this in a bad way,
right?
But the story plays out exactly the same.
It's pretty similar to Lethal Weapon as well.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
yeah.
It's just that they're both cops.
But you have these two different storylines. Mm-hmm. They meet, and then they figure out they're both part of this larger
Right.
Conspiracy.
Right.
Which in this movie, the weakest part of the movie is the conspiracy of it, because in the end, and I know it's 1970s, right, but in the end you're thinking, who gives a fuck? Like, what they actually did, you know, the movie that they made, like, no one would believe that shit anyway.
Yes and no, because when I saw it on the second time, I was like, oh, she does make mention where she's like, we have actual names and dates and stuff like that, stuff that people couldn't really like.
But all they were trying to get to. Oh, you mean they mentioned that in the movie?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Remember that guy who was the bad old man actor, and he's like, I'm blah 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 blah. He was the guy who was at the party. So like they were using his real name.
I realize that, but it's still a porn movie,
right?
And people would be like, just dismiss it out of fucking hand.
Well,
you wouldn't have to go kill people over that.
Because
different back then.
Right. Because if it got out, then somebody could run with
Realize that this is a different world today, and we know a lot more.
Right.
And our conspiracy noses are, you know,
also
way less in tune.
If you're going to put some porno stuff, I mean, you have to do it in like a 15-minute clip. So, you know, it's a lot more condensed.
So I guess we forgot to mention that up front, is that what happens is, Amelia is part of this. She has fallen in with this director,
right,
who has gotten some information on the Detroit auto industry, and how it's.
I think she has.
Well, she has the information, right, and she's shared it with him,
right,
because her mother works for the
Justice Department.
Department.
Right.
So she has this information about these corrupt automakers and how they're basically bribery,
right,
extortion, and all this shit that they're doing that we know about today. That,
right.
But, you know, it was being covered up then.
Right.
And she decided, she and her boyfriend director decided that they were going to do something about it. What they were going to do about it was make a movie, a porn movie, that basically brought everything to light. And they were going to show this movie at a big auto convention.
Right.
Clearly, there were people that didn't want this to happen.
Right.
So they started eliminating anyone associated,
right,
with this movie.
Right. And, yeah. And so, and then basically it just charts March and Healy as they're trying to piece it all together and, you know, solve the case.
Yeah.
And also, as long as they don't kill each other in the process.
Which in any other type of movie, this would be a demerit, if you will, for me. But, like, the way Shane Black does it, he's so good at it. The story is very convoluted in a lot of parts, and you really got to...
Well, it's a detective story, so
you really got to zone in to figure out what's going on. But it works so well, and he's such a good writer.
Yeah, he is.
With this type of story in particular. It's just such a funny movie.
Yeah, it's really funny.
It's unfortunate that once again they give away a little bit too much in the trailers.
They do. They really do,
especially the second one. You know.
With one character in particular.
Yeah.
They gave away way too much with her that you were like, now I know what's going to happen later on. But it was really, really funny. It was
very funny.
Yes. Why did you throw cold coffee on
this me? This isn't you. This isn't who you are. She just said that she's killed people.
But deep
down. I know, but deep down, I mean,
deep down.
Yeah, why did you just pour cold coffee on me? Well, I thought it was hot. I like the way you're thinking.
Like the way you're thinking, baby. And what ends up turning out, as is typical, you know, in stuff like this, Holly, the daughter, is actually probably the best detective of all of them. So
She's actually the glue between them.
Right.
She actually is the one that gets them to keep going.
Right.
Because at one point her dad's like, well, now this case is done. I don't need to worry about this anymore.
Yeah.
I've got my money and
right.
And there's no need to go any further. And she's the one that keeps them
kind of on the
track.
Yeah. It's your conscience. We haven't talked in a while. Different movie, but...
But that was a good movie, too.
But yeah, The Nice Guys, definitely check it out. If you want to laugh, and but also get a pretty good detective story in it, too, check out The Nice Guys. It needs your help.
Yeah, it's too bad.
They really shouldn't have released this in the summer. I think that was a mistake. And especially against Neighbors, too.
Well, that's the thing. They release it so soon, so close to Civil War, and then right with Neighbors 2. And that's Neighbors 2, unfortunately, is going to draw at least the younger crowd.
Yeah.
And this is, critically it's doing well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, critics love it. Yeah.
It's going to make money, but it's...
Yeah, it's not going to make as much as it should.
Yeah.
But then again, neither did Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
No, but, you know, that was a little different because that was really the... Lethal Weapon doesn't really count because that's kind of different altogether. Yeah. That was a Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was almost an experiment,
right?
In him able to do this, pull this off. Right. So that was other than having it did have star power behind it. But
well, yes and no. I mean, because Robert Downey Jr.
He wasn't Iron Man yet, but he still.
But I mean, he was coming off of all his legal troubles and stuff like that, so he was kind of radioactive at that point.
Oh, that's well.
Because that's really what...
That's the radioactive to Hollywood. I don't know that the general audience gives two shits about that.
But. I mean, he wasn't really pulling anything in. And I think after they saw that, I think that's what Jon Favreau said, oh my God, I need to put him in Iron Man.
Yeah.
And then Val Kilmer was in it, but Val Kilmer, you know, was fading already. Yeah. So it's like...
Just too bad, because Val Kilmer is a good actor.
Yeah, yeah.
He you give him something to work with,
yeah.
and he can act. But, yeah, he's not... He's just not in much these days.
Well, he's also kind of a diva, from what I understand, too. So.
It could be blacklisted because of how he acts. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
But yeah, nice guys.
These two guys have great chemistry together. Yes. Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe.
The reason why I wanted to make money is because I want to see them make another one.
Yeah, it'd be great. Really... And they even in the little segments that they do where they're promoting this movie, they're hilarious.
Oh, yeah, they're so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're so buddies. I saw them on Graham Norton. They were hilarious on Graham Norton.
Yeah, 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 they were very funny.
But yeah, definitely check out The Nice Guys. It's in theaters now. It just opened wide. And check out Sing Street if you can catch it. I'm surprised it hasn't gone to VOD yet.
Yeah, but I wish it would find an audience, but I know it won't.
Yeah, and if you've got HBO, check out Confirmation on demand. It's a solid little flick.
Yeah, nothing to. Go crazy about.
No, yeah, yeah. But really good performances from, you know, Kerry Washington and Wendell Pierce. And Greg Kinnear as Joe Biden. Next episode, we will, I'm sure, have Matt back. And we'll be discussing X-Men Apocalypse. We'll see how it's going to do. We'll see how it's going to go.
Spoiler alert. Probably not
well. Probably not well. God. But yeah, so that'll be the next episode. And see you next time. Thanks for listening, folks. Bye.